Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
You got something, this shouldn't be surprising, but you have something negative to say about the Lakers coming off of that win. I can't wait to hear what in the world you're going to choose to rip them about.
It's just not based on totally that win or ripping them because they beat the Suns by 25 or whatever. I love the way everybody thinks that the Lakers are like this shoe-in to go to the Western Conference Finals, and they're going to play the Clippers, and it's going to be a seven-game series, and they might win and go to the I'm just not there at all, Chris. And it's because of a couple things. I said this early on in the season when they started, what was it, 23-4, Rob G? Is that what it was, 23-4? And everybody was ranting and raving, and oh, my God, look at the Lakers, and they weren't beating anybody. And I was like, what is LeBron James doing? What is he getting crazy for?
He was trying to prove something.
I was like, dude, you're in year 17. It ain't about the regular season. It ain't about having this great record. It's about the postseason and a chance to win a championship. And now here we go. All of a sudden, LeBron James is in a slump. I know last night wasn't that great. They won. It was easy. But LeBron is averaging 21.8 points, 44% shooting, and 5 turnovers a game, and the Lakers are 4-2. This is in those last 6 games. Both of those losses came at home, so they're in a mini slump. And this is all since Kobe died. Remember he was saying like he had big shoulders, broad shoulders. And I'm just looking at this team since that start. And you remember they played the Bucks. They both had the identical records. Bucks beat them or whatever.
Right.
Ever since then, they're like 16-9. Okay, I knew they were going to win at that clip that they were winning, but they've come back to earth. Their record is 5-6 against the top 4 teams in both conferences. Okay. That's not great.
Right.
So I'm here to say that I'm not so convinced that they're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. And again, I will say right here, right now, Chris, that I believe that they're championship frauds. I don't see them getting there, beating, first of all, they're not going to beat the Clippers, no matter if it's a second round or in the conference final. But I'm not even positive that they will be, as one, a unit that for sure is going to be the team in the second round and for sure is going to get to the Western Conference Finals.
So let me ask, just for clarification's sake, if the Lakers are championship frauds, am I correct in assuming that you think there are only two teams in the NBA who are not championship frauds?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I just want the Clippers and the Bucks.
Those are the two teams I think that have a realistic chance of winning the championship.
So the Lakers don't even have a realistic chance.
I don't believe, Chris, I get the regular season wins, and there's a lot of bad teams in the NBA, and I'm not knocking them for winning those games. They're in front of them. But from what I've seen, the inconsistency, the dog, the fight. How about AD in his fourth quarters? You've given us all the numbers. They're ugly. You will not win a championship with AD putting out those numbers, Chris, in the fourth quarter. He's going to have to be one of those elite players to make this thing work.
Agreed.
I'm not sure it's on him though.
They're not even playing him 6 minutes a game in the fourth quarter.
I'm just saying, and when he's playing, he's not doing much. I'm not there with Kyle Kuzma. He's made some adjustments, Chris, but not enough. They need him to be a different type of player than he has been. Maybe he gets it after the All-Star break and it changes and he accepts his role and he starts to play winning basketball, not chuck-up basketball. Maybe I'll be wrong and he'll develop and he'll give him that piece. But I'm not convinced that the Lakers are who most people thought they were, which was they're going to the NBA championship, and they're gonna take out anybody. Well, once they had two of the three top players in the NBA, that they were going to be there.
Well, first of all, Rob, I think you will admit this. Most people had the Clippers better than the Lakers. Don't you think preseason? There were a number of people, including me initially,
right,
that had the Lakers.
I
think people viewed the Clippers as slightly better.
And I think as time has gone on, they are better and they've gotten better. And they're not even all the way there, Chris. And that's the part that I'm saying. There will be more time for them to gel in the second half of the season. Everybody could poo-poo Marcus Morris or whatever you want. I love the pickup. He fits with them like a glove. He's a nice pickup. They didn't have to wreck what they already had, their core. They didn't have to give up anybody like that to make it happen. I just love what I see from them. 17-5 when Kawhi and Paul George are playing. That's a nice record. I like the Clippers a lot, and I'm not so sure or sold on the Lakers. So I'm going to say right now, they could get knocked out in the second round and not even make it to the Western Conference.
The Lakers are not championship frauds. Now, I do think the Clippers are slightly better. I do think the Clippers should be the favorite in the West. But there's no way the Lakers are championship frauds. They have a shot. There is a path for them to beat the Clippers and get to the West, to the NBA Finals. And before I say that, there is nobody, not Memphis, not Oklahoma City, not Denver, not Utah, and not Houston that can beat the LA Lakers. The only team in the West that can beat the Lakers is the Clippers. And it's close.
I'm not buying that. I think they could be had if they're not right.
No,
and LeBron James,
we've already
seen him wear down a little bit.
All right, here's where I think on LeBron. Because you're right, the last three games, I mentioned this on Undisputed this morning, last three games he's averaged 7 turnovers a game. He's shooting 40% from the floor, averaging 19 points. This is speculation. Personally, I think he's still a bit shook by Kobe Bryant's passing.
That could be fair.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to poo-poo it. It could be fair when you're a guy of that caliber and you have a friendship or you know what I mean.
They were great colleagues.
But you're
I don't want to use that. Friends,
but I'm talking about a fraternity.
Right.
When you play, only a certain amount of people get to be a professional
basketball player. So there's
a fraternity that's there.
This is beyond the fraternity of being a professional basketball player or a professional athlete. There's another fraternity, as you know, and that's super duper star. This isn't even Hall of Fame, right? We're talking about the elite of the Hall of Fame. And most people felt like, obviously we knew at some time everybody dies, okay? But there was this feeling that Kobe's immortal.
No doubt.
Skip said it on the show, Skip Bayless, the day after. I just felt there's no way Kobe's not. He's going to conquer that helicopter crash or whatever. He's going to get up.
He would make it out.
And LeBron James is on that level. I'm sure Kobe felt like he was immortal. I'm sure LeBron James felt like he was immortal. And now he probably has had to deal with his mortality.
I agree with that.
So I think it might be.
I think that happens to a lot of people, especially Chris, when somebody close to you or friend, when you see somebody die, you go, wow, like. You know, we were just cool yesterday,
right.
Or we were just, or last week I saw him or whatever, and he's gone.
It was all good just a week ago.
Exactly, and he's gone, and you realize how fragile life is.
Right, so I think that's what's happening. And LeBron, everybody's jumping on, he's averaging 34.5 minutes a game. This is the lowest of his career, okay? Let's not let the fact that Kawhi Leonard sits out once every 2 weeks, and that's really what it is, make us misjudge other players' minutes. Rob, you covered the league when the Bad Boy Pistons, Michael Jordan, they were routinely playing 40 minutes a night. 34 minutes is fine. So if he wears down, it's just he's 35 years old, it's his 17th season, it was bound to happen. But I don't think because he's gone too hard too early.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, we talked about it yesterday.
The story that Joel Sherman broke about changing the playoff, some things in the playoffs in baseball.
Going to, rather than 10 teams making it, 5 in each league, it would be 14, 7 in each league. And then the
number one seeds
pick.
Right, number one seeds would get
going
buys,
play,
and then the other teams get to pick their opponent.
Who you want to play. And Trevor Bauer did not like it, to say the least. Here's what he said, Rob.
That's right. He said on Twitter, "No idea who made this new playoff format proposal, but Rob is responsible for releasing it, so I'll direct this to you, Rob Manfred. Your proposal is absurd for too many reasons to type on Twitter and proves you have absolutely no clue about baseball. You are a joke."
Wow.
He's talking about Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. That's who he is.
Wow.
And that is pretty strong.
Yeah. I mean, that's no respect.
And you know the best thing is Trevor Bauer didn't ask Alex for that. You know, like it diminishes
it. See, that's a natural one right
there. You have to take it. If you're making your points and you're saying your thing, Alex already knows, like, I never have to direct him. He knows when I've said something.
That is right.
You never get mic drops.
Yeah, because
I can't even remember the last time you had a mic drop.
I don't have to do a mic drop, but he knows when I'm on it. He plays the music.
He
I don't
plays
have to
crickets.
I don't
That's
have to. I don't have to prompt him for you to feel good about yourself.
Get Kawhi
I like
ready.
To give you some warning.
You know,
I like to give you some warning.
I know
just so you know it's coming.
I already know what's going on.
Because I could say mic drop and he don't drop it. But when I say mic drop, it's appropriate and warranted.
Sometimes
so
I get it. I'm working on the show with Rob G. We're trying to fix like what Chris is doing, and we're texting. I'm telling you, Chris, you know, needs to do this or do that. And Rob G will be like, "Yeah, I know. Just hang in there. Do what you got to do." Look at Chris.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm doing, Craig Melvin. But I think, and again, speculation, I think what Trevor Bauer is talking about is the notion that you would actually get to pick your opponent in the playoffs. I don't think he has a problem, or certainly not that type of problem. Like, there's nothing wrong with proposing more playoff teams make it. I would find it hard to believe that Trevor Bauer had this type of response to the potential increase of two playoff teams in each league. I have no problem with it. What I do think, though, is absurd. I think it's Bush League. I think it's playground. I think it's Sandlot. Picking your opponent.
And what have we talked?
It's ridiculous. This is professional baseball.
And what have we talked about, Chris? You can criticize baseball for a lot of things. I don't hear people complain about the playoff system or at all. Like, people, the playoffs are good.
Right. And I think
you
they
know
just
what I
want
mean?
To enhance it. They want it to
no,
be longer.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, really? Like, there are things to fix.
But
I'm not sure if that should be top on the list on your priority.
Will you admit this, though? Now, it's thrilling. It's great. But the one-game playoff, that's kind of rough.
It
in
is.
In baseball, especially.
But what
162 games comes down to one.
But what I like about it is you're not – before, wild card teams were winning the World Series and almost like had an advantage, but they shouldn't have any advantage. Like, you didn't win your division. You got in. You got a chance. I love the way they made the two wild cards play each other, Chris. Before,
right.
It wasn't like that. It was one wild card, and they were playing a division winner.
Right.
I don't think that's fair. So you got the two wild cards. Only one wild card team can be in the mix from each league, and I thought that was fair.
What if you made that a three-game series?
I wouldn't have
Would
a problem
like
with that?
That,
maybe.
I honestly don't have a problem with 14
But
teams.
You don't have you very seldom have the single elimination game, which is fun.
It is
and
fun.
Thrilling, and you get people to watch that because there's no tomorrow.
It's fun.
It's one game. Everybody's like, I want to see who wins this.
But I don't blame baseball for one. Look, the playoffs is our best time of the year. Let's expand it. Because it's still going to – look, if they do this, they got to get rid of the picking your opponent. I mean, I can't imagine they'll do that.
And,
but let's
and
say
right.
they just expand it. don't you think it'll be great, honestly? I know you're philosophically against it, but it's going
to
be exciting.
Only because I just don't want it, because I know what's going to happen if they do that. Then it'll go to 16. You know what I mean, Christian, because you get greedy. Because you get greedy.
That, then there is a threshold.
Am
where
I right?
You can be too many, yeah.
Like the NBA with the 7-game series on every round.
Like, I don't have a problem with the NBA. Now, seven games
every
but
round.
But here's the problem. 5 games... you'd have too many upsets, is it, you know?
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
While we wait on Oak, there's another outspoken player in today's game who's making all sorts of noise. Kevin Durant.
Oh, is he outspoken? I would have never imagined that.
He was on the All the Smoke podcast, and they had to just slowly release the excerpts because there were so many hot excerpts from KD. Remember last week we talked about a few things that he said, and this week he said something about his Oklahoma City teammates. Here it is.
Well, OKC, I play with a lot of athletes. I didn't play with a lot of skill guys, not like shooters, ball handlers. So after a while, my game started to grow. I was like, I need a change. This is before the season even started. You know what I mean? And it was like, I'm going to play out my last season as hard as I can. And I'm not telling anybody I want to leave. I'm not packing in. I'm trying to win as much as we can and trying to end this outright. That was my thinking going in before the year. I was tired of playing in that system. I was tired of like having to be the only guy that can make threes, make jump shots, and consistently make them.
All right, that's Kevin Durant. We're going to bring in our man. We've been talking about him. He's a former All-Star for the Knicks, Charles Oakley. What's up, Oak, man? How you doing?
What's up, man? I'm up here in the land, Ohio. You know what we do.
I was going to ask you, so you in Cleveland right now?
Yeah, man. I went, you know, I'm with this promotion with Play Robin Hood. So we did Brooklyn. We went to United Methodist Church.
Okay.
And we cooked an event for like 300 people. Came through Manhattan, Sunday, Union Station, did 300. So came to Cleveland. We did 1,000 a day.
Wow.
We did breakfast, lunch, and dinner, 1,000 people.
That's great, man.
People need food in this country.
Oh, no doubt. Especially people, you know, trying to get themselves back on track.
Right.
You know, everybody here. There's a lot of chuck holes in Detroit and Cleveland, so people got a blowout tie trying to get back on the road. So we're just trying to help the people out.
That's great, man.
Great stuff, Oak.
Speaking of Brooklyn, Oakley, we just heard Kevin Durant. We played a little excerpt. Have you been following, like, him on social media, going back and forth with fans? And just recently he was on the All the Smoke podcast and killing his OKC teammates. Like, what's your take on KD and how he handles social media and all that, burner accounts, all that stuff?
I mean, they said a lot of people got burned. I mean, he just being himself. That's what he like to do. I mean, never stop nobody hustles. If he can deal with it in the real world, you know, I guess some people do a lot of stuff and don't show their face. So, I mean, I don't get caught up in these guys are different. I mean, it's a new cycle of NBA basketball, and the guys run the league, they run the team, they run their company, they run their agent, they run their whatever. So I ain't got nothing bad about it. After he won 2 championships with Golden State, hit the 2 biggest shots in NBA history back-to-back, I have no complaints about him. Let him do him.
I've said. As long as he can produce on the court.
It just seems like if you're that talented, just let your play speak for itself. What do you care if somebody in their mother's grandmother's basement, Oak, is tweeting something about you? You know, why would you care?
Rob, it's a sensitive league. Okay. You don't get it? These guys are sensitive.
Yes.
I mean, you know, the tragedy, you know, Kobe, if they had a blueprint of him coming in to see what you had to do to be a tiger in the jungle or whatever, to play basketball, and he first came in the air. I mean, I don't know. It just, man, I'm telling you. Y'all see this sickness basketball going on night in and night out. I mean, look what OKC doing. They don't have nothing. Look what Memphis doing. They don't have nothing.
Right.
Holding their own, and, you know, all they got was Memphis got a number 2 pick in the draft just playing within itself. I love how he playing. I mean, so I don't know. It's people just drafting the wrong people. Just got to find somebody with some soul. They got to go to these small schools and get somebody who understand how tough it is. This and that. Instead of going to the big school, they give them everything.
Oak, what do you think about the new style of play? I mean, when you played, you know, you were a power forward. You rebounded. You hit mid-range shots.
that's kind of disappeared. The type of player you were disappeared from the NBA. It's all three-pointers now or layups.
Right.
Like, how do you feel about the new style of playing the NBA?
Well, it's about a dollar, right?
And
the money is global, right?
Yep.
And now when I played in the league, you might have 4 to 5% global player. Now you probably got 30 to 35. So they follow the money. It's a money trail. Everybody, somebody get the bag. NBA is getting the bag global. So what we used to see in good basketball, we don't see it from our guys no more. You got a league of 30 teams. You might have maybe five to seven guys that, like, wow, I want to see. It's 23 other teams that you don't want to see because it's just not basketball no more. Analytics or whatever, these gurus, you know,
right.
Shoot threes, don't shoot two. They don't care about free throws no more, and you can turn the ball over 12, 13 times in the quarter. It's okay.
It is amazing. But the one team that I love and the way that they play and their dog and how hard they play and they play defense, I love the Clippers. I love that group. I love what they added to, you know, what they had last year, Oak. Do you like the Clippers to win the championship?
Clippers is a scary team. You know, you got a great coach in Doc and his staff, Tyronn Lue and all of them, Sam Cassell, a few other guys over there. But they was like last year. You get them, you know, they came on strong. They made the playoff. It was just about nothing. So you add two marquee players to that team, a guy who won the championship, and then you get Paul George.
Yep.
And you got some guys, Strappy off the bench, Harold and Lou Williams. Lou Williams, you know, he's a straight pro. Harold is a pro. And you put them two with the mother two, and you can throw anybody in the center. And I think what Doc has been doing is trying to just get the chemistry ready for late in the season. Right now, it's going to be up and down. You can win five, lose two.
Right.
And, I mean, I think the Clippers is the only team going to give LA a problem if they play.
Who would you go with right now as the favorite between those two?
I want to see him play because I know it's going to be a good game. Get some of the best with LeBron and Anthony Davis against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I think it'll come down to coach. And if it do happen, Doc should have the edge in towards the coach experience. And but I don't know, man. It's hard to tell. I would want it to go seven because I would hate to see, you know, I like both teams. But I'm a LeBron guy, so, you know, I'm going with the Lakers.
Charles Oakley, former NBA All-Star, joining
Homer,
the iCouple.
Homer.
I know, Oak, you like you said, you're a LeBron guy. You know LeBron well. You've been on this show, The Shop. You know Mav and all those guys.
Right.
One thing I like about his approach this year, you know, there hasn't been any drama. You know, he hasn't complained, we need this, we need that. He's just playing well and playing every night. Why do you think there's been a change in him in that regard? And, you know, he's not saying, you know, all that.
Well, you got the best, third best record. I mean, the second, you know, number one, I wear second in the overall league. But I think that, the Lakers play good. I think they played according to who they played for us that night of the game. And you never see them lose two in a row, maybe once all year. But as long as LeBron is the captain and the leader, the guy who keep everybody together, do things with the teammates, and you don't see that. So as long as he on the team, the Lakers got a chance. But I think that Anthony Davis, you know, the eye on him. What can he do when LeBron ain't on the floor? What can he do? So is Anthony Davis, you know, he's a game-changing player. If he stay healthy, and I don't know. They saying the Lakers need more players. I don't think nobody needs players. The league is real balanced for everybody. Got two guys. It's just you got to play basketball. This is what the 90s was. You played basketball. Everybody basically had the same type of team. You know, your best player just for the ride to the Cajun.
Okay. One thing a lot of people might not know about you is that you're a great cook. Some people know, but you're a great cook. A two-part question. One, what's your best dish that you cook? Man. And two, how'd you get so much into cooking?
My best dish? Well, lately, they've been going crazy with my turkey lasagna. That's one. And they love my oxtails.
Some of that up to the iCouple.
I know. When you're coming to L.A., I mean, you know,
well,
Chris and I always
I'm
hungry.
I'm coming for Kobe service.
Oh,
I think
memorial.
It's the 24.
Yeah.
I got to come. I mean, I was around Kobe. I mean, I just, hey, this guy just like, hey, It's a tragedy, just, you know, go out, you know, Vanessa and the mother three girls and Gigi. I mean, you know, I mean, hey, that's going to be on these guys for a long time. I mean, I don't think that's going to die down no time in the next 5 or 6 years because it's just he is so much global. And people didn't know about it until this happened. Like, when I was watching tennis, and I seen Joker, I said, I've been dealing with Kobe for 10 years. He's like a mentor to me. And it's like, wow, my mouth was just open.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's real. Hey. Go ahead, what was the second question?
That was it. I was going to just say, Oak, you know I've been in this business 34 years, and I say this with all sincerity. You were one of my favorite players that I ever covered, covering sports and covering the Knicks and the Nets and the Cincinnati Reds, really. Because you were just a pro's pro, and I think a lot of guys don't get like what our job is and dealing with the press, and we're not the enemy. Do you know what I mean? And I really appreciated how you handled dealing with the press.
My thing, I always tell guys, you ain't always right, but my thing is, people, things gonna happen, and sometimes you can't control things. But just be, hey, I tell guys, you play your hardest, you play your best. The press ain't gonna, can't do with so much right, bad about you, but they got a story to write.
I mean,
I never got into it with no writers or whatever, like this and that, because I talked to everybody, and I was honest with guys, and, you know, I had a good core with press, but people are like, you know, like to this day, people, even referees or press or whoever come to me, I mean, I wasn't the greatest at what I did, but people respect me, and that's all I give back in respect.
No doubt.
No doubt.
Thank you, Oak.
All right, Oak, we appreciate it,
guys.
Man. All right, peace.
No problem.